Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Party all night, party all night. What song's that?
I wanna rock and roll all night, a party every day.
Wait a second.
Who's that Kiss?
Who's that Kiss?
Is that Kiss?
Who's that Kiss? Yeah.
So Pete, I want to give people an insight, a genuine insight into what it's like recording this show with you, because I think people's idea is of a certain type. And right. Obviously, I think the product always turns out to be pretty entertaining and people enjoy it, and that's good. But I don't think they see the hardships.
The hardships?
And I want to give people an example right now, just a very small example, which I would say is the tip of the iceberg about what it's like working with you. And it gives people a delicious kind of flavour, I think, a sweet note on their palate of what I go through making this show with you. Is that fair enough?
Well, a couple of examples. Say,
well, yeah,
suppose,
no, fine. Yeah. Just a couple of examples.
Right.
One is that today, you don't say anything till the end. Let me just do it, and you can respond at the end, okay? So one is you're wearing what looks to be a ladies' pajama T-shirt with the words ideal and reality on them, which is confusing.
Three times.
And I know for a fact you've got a pair of quite nice woolen trousers on, and the pockets are full of empty pistachio nutshells.
Well, it's hard to sort of, I can't really sort of deny any of that, because it seems very much like I've just realised that the very soft, weirdly soft T-shirt I'm wearing weirdly has certain pyjama knots, let's say.
Yeah, but what about the shells in the pocket?
I was eating some lemon pistachios. Delicious. Yeah. The problem with lemon pistachios I found is that I don't know what kind of lemon chemical they spray on them.
Yeah.
When you put them in your pockets, they're a bit moist. They stay out
there. Where you bought them from.
They sort of kind of, the off license around the corner. They are a bit claggy. They are a bit sticky. And I'm not really getting massive lemony flavours from the nuts themselves. So no. I just think lemon pistachios, I don't know, the off license around the corner. I don't know what they're doing, really.
So we've been recording since about 9 this morning. It's about 11 now. It's a couple of hours into various shows. And about 9:45, you said, I'm going to stop eating those lemon pistachios because I feel a bit sick. And yet you're still piling into them.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's quite obsessive behaviour.
It's not obsessive. I like them. I like pistachios, but I just think the lemon flavouring's a bit weak and a bit claggy, and it feels uncomfortable to eat.
And do you?
But now they're in my pocket.
Yeah, the shells are in your pocket. Let's make that absolutely
pocket
clear.
Full of shells.
Yeah, Zach de la Rocha. On what record was that? That's Balls on Parade.
Balls on Parade.
From Evil Empire. Second record, maybe.
I thought it was on the one that was. Which one's the one that's got the monk on fire? It's on that one.
No, it's not. That's the first record.
What?
Self-titled. It's not on that.
What?
Balls on Parade on the second record.
What?
And the third one is, I think, the Battle of Los Angeles, which has got Sleep Behind the Fire, which is
Sleep
a fucking banger. What a riff. But Pete, are you someone who's simply in a hurry? It's first thing in the morning. You need to eat something, and you've gone packet of lemon pistachios. Or are you striking an existential blow for people who say only certain foods are legitimate breakfast foods? Because people listening to this regularly will know that you take a very avant-garde approach to breakfast.
It's usually takeaway leftovers, isn't it?
Yeah.
I would say that, like, if
you... Do you think we're too restrictive on our breakfast food?
Yes,
choice?
Like, we are. And I think when you stay in, like, an international hotel somewhere...
Yeah.
You look around at this sort of different sort of breakfast options. If you're, like, in... I was in, like, Shanghai and stuff. You'd have, like, Japanese, Korean breakfast. You'd have Chinese breakfast. And you'd have, like...
What do they consist
the
of,
Western
though?
Stuff. I mean, just a lot of, like, congee.
What's that?
Sort of, like, a rice porridge. Like, hot, lovely, hot, watery rice.
Savoury?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And you could, you know, and you'd have a bit of chicken broth in it and stuff and some scallions and stuff. Mm. And then you have, like, you know, like Japanese breakfast is like sort of fermented soybean, really sort of bitter tasting thing and grilled fish and stuff. And like we, in the West, our choices in these hotels are always just like eggs, scrambled eggs and a bit of sausage.
I don't think it's the West though, is it? Because in the US it's very varied. In the US, I've been to places.
True, yeah.
I've been to places where there's been, I mean, steak and eggs.
Steak and eggs,
for breakfast in the US.
And like lots of like biscuits and stuff.
Yeah.
Creamy sort of mushroom sauces and stuff.
Is it because in Britain we're quite repressed?
Yeah, I think everything about our kind of, I don't know why we don't piss about at breakfast. Like, I don't know why
recently,
we're all...
The pancake has been made an introduction.
Pancake's made an introduction. I just think the pancakes, especially the way the Americans do it, is just unwelcome. I love a crepe, but pancakes, ugh.
Yeah, I once overheard
peppery,
a British
cake.
I once heard a British person in an American hotel at breakfast describe American pancakes as pillowy nonsense.
It is pillowy nonsense.
I like it though. I'll get a short stack and I'll get some bacon on there and I'll stick some maple syrup on there, some butter.
Loads of butter.
Yeah.
It's too much like cake. You're a cake guy. I'm not. I can't handle cake.
Get your calorie intake for the day out of the way.
Yeah,
before 10 a.m. ideally.
Fall asleep from 11 till 12.
Yeah. I find that. But people say to me, and this is a little bit of a cliche, but I mean the statistics do bear it out. In most parts of the US, there's an obesity epidemic, right?
Mm.
A lot of people are overweight, and people go, "That's really bad, isn't it? It's so surprising. It's crazy. It's surprising that not more people are."
Because I find
it as an outsider, maybe I don't know where I'm going or I don't know how to work it out properly as a foreigner, but I find that it's very, very difficult to eat healthily in the US.
Yeah. Because everything's convenient and even everything's very processed, isn't it, I suppose? Even more than our stuff, I would say.
Mm.
And we're pretty bad.
Like, we're basically like a shit version of America, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, we get the processed stuff, but we don't get half the range.
No, all the flavors.
You know
flavors.
What I mean? We don't get like, you go to a shop in America and you see versions of products that you are very familiar with, that you're like, what? There's a, I don't know, a lemon pistachio flavored Mars bar I'd never seen before.
I
you know what
that.
I mean? There's always something going on that we're not privy to, that they just don't bother sending it to our gaff. And even like the interest in like Scottish drinks you don't get anymore. You know, they've started, like Lilt's not, doesn't exist anymore.
It's Fanta
it?
Now.
It's Fanta. No, Tango. Yeah.
No, it's Fanta now.
Is it Fanta?
I think it's like Fanta Lemon.
Tropical Fanta or
Tropical
something.
Tropical Fanta
right.
or something, yeah. Imagine the least impressive bits of the US and the least efficient bits of Germany and you just imagine Britain.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
This is the Luke and Pete Show. Welcome along. Thank you very much for joining us again. That's Peter, I'm Luke. The man with a pocket full of pistachio shells is Peter.
Pocket full of shells.
I don't want people to mistake us.
No.
Because I don't want to
mistake us.
I'm very embarrassing for lots of different reasons, but I don't carry, you know, food cast-offs and waste.
Is that what you're calling? Like, surely some enterprising individuals must be making something out of pistachio shells.
You can buy pistachios in the US without the shells on them.
Mm.
More expensive.
Mm.
But and
do you get the salty flavour though?
Yes, they're salt washed.
It's a salt wash.
That's what
isn't
they do,
it?
Isn't it? Yeah. I think it might be a cashew that's grown. So cashews are really expensive because they grow. It's one cashew per plant, I think.
Right.
A singular cashew
that seems
grows.
Like a...
Yeah, and so it's very labour intensive and not rare, but like you just, it's not like
let's stop pissing about with them. They're not that good.
It's not like a grapevine where you get 150 grapes on a little bunch.
I had a muscat grape at the weekend. It's just food reviews. Muscat grape at the weekend. It tastes a bit like a lychee. Big fan of those. Expensive.
Muscat grape.
Very pricey.
Have you had a candy floss grape?
Yes, I think I have. Didn't taste like candy floss.
It does to me.
Right.
Remarkable stuff.
You don't eat enough candy floss.
I probably don't.
I have it morning, noon and night.
I don't eat candy. I don't think I've eaten candy floss for 15 plus years.
Yeah.
Probably longer.
That's a shame.
Yeah. I don't find myself in a general geographic proximity.
I live in
to
Southend.
Everything
sells candy floss where I am, which
it's
is terrible.
It's
for
like
me.
Some kind of Tim Robinson sketch where you look around a house. So how far is the what school? No. How far is the shop? No. How far is the local candy floss?
If I ran as fast as I could, how quickly could I get candy floss into my mouth?
What's the answer? Think about it. How long would it run as fast as you can? Directly in a straight line to the candy floss machine.
I don't know, from my house though, because Southend's a different animal.
Let me give you a situation. Mm. You wake up at bang 8 o'clock and your mind is only set on getting candy floss in your mouth as
fresh,
quick as possible.
But fresh candy floss. Fresh. Yeah, fresh candy floss.
How quickly can you do it?
I could get it in my mouth in 15 minutes.
And that is why you live there.
Well,
that is amazing.
In the shopping centre, and I've done this when I've dropped Sammy off at Doggy Daycare, and I've gone to get the drop the car off and then gone to get the much better line from Southend that goes through basically the Elizabeth line sort of route,
yeah,
and through Shenfield, and really boring, very specific Essex chat here, but they've got like a machine in the it's on 24/7 in the shopping centre, even though it's like 6:30 in the morning.
It's not on 24/7.
It is on 24/7.
Well, candy floss machine. Is it manned?
No, it's not manned.
Okay,
it's a robot that makes you candy floss.
I wasn't terrified about AI until I heard that.
But you can get candy floss any time, as long as the shopping centre's open.
So candy floss is made, presumably, by heating up sugar and whipping it or something like that.
Yeah.
So you've got a machine
extruding
that can
it,
do
I
all
suppose,
that stuff.
Yeah. It whips it really quick, doesn't it?
They should be unionising these candy floss operators, because that is fucking terrifying
it's
development.
Good stuff, isn't it?
So you can get from out of your bed that in your gob in 15 minutes.
Yeah, probably less. Yeah, probably less.
Be safe, you say 15 minutes. 15. I'd love to hear.
If I'm taking the Corsal Road.
Yeah.
17 minutes. I can get it from the from the seaside, creators of that particular.
That's
snack.
The opening offer. If anyone listening to this can get from waking up in the morning to candy floss in their cake hole,
made fresh.
Quicker than 17 minutes. Mm. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. I think you'll be surprised. There's a few people listening. I know because of the Luke and Pete Show thread. Channel, up on the Ramble Discord. A lot of them live by the coast. Mm. One of them lives on the Isle of Bute. No, I mean, Scotland isn't really known for candy floss, though, I suppose. I'm really looking to hear from people from Margate, from Leon C, from potentially some seaside towns down Devon and Cornwall.
Yeah.
Although, what I would say about that is, and Pete, back me up on this, have you spent much time down Devon and Cornwall?
Yes, I have, actually, yeah.
Everything's slower.
Yeah.
They do things slower.
Yeah,
I think you cut off for that. And that, listen,
it's a lazy obsession with your nationality as well as Cornwallians.
You specifically to Cornwall, do you reckon?
Yeah,
I think
weird pride. I don't really.
The epicenter. Well, we'll come on to that. You don't understand any kind of pride.
No.
Epicenter of doing things quickly for no reason is London. Mm. I thought the further west you go, it gets noticeably slower. And I think the big cut off is Bristol. Bristol's got designs on being a kind of mini London, a more artistic, creative London, but it's very slow. And the moment you start getting west of Bristol, my goodness me. I mean, I've sat in a Devonshire cream tea shop and waited half an hour for a cream tea. And all they're doing really is cutting a scone. Actually, they don't even cut it in half. They put it on a plate and making you a pot of tea.
And the little pots are like just get them out of the fridge, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Bit of jam. Pot of clotted cream out of the fridge. Nothing else.
And half an hour doesn't sound like that long, but put it in context. That's two candy floss trips.
That's two candy floss.
Whichever way you slice
exactly,
it, isn't it?
Yeah,
anyway,
exactly.
Recently on the Luke and Pete Show, I told you guys about the genuinely impressive magic trick I saw at Old Trafford. I tried to prove to Pete that I could juggle, and that was ill-advised at the time. My ego got the better of me then. I'll tell you why.
Right.
It wasn't a very good effort, but I was in a very kind of restricted space, and I didn't have items ready for juggling. I had to improvise.
Chose the wrong items for me.
I did, but I had no choice. I couldn't choose anything else.
Right.
What else am I going to do?
Yeah, get your jugglers in short order near your desk.
Should have, yeah.
If I've got candy floss at my fingertips, you need your juggling balls.
If I'm meeting potential new employees or collaborators, co-producers,
exactly.
Presenters, and I just, on the Zoom, just bash out
just
a bit of juggling. When the Zoom starts, I'm juggling.
Yeah.
With a big grin on my
going,
face.
At this company, you'll need to juggle a few things.
And each juggling ball's an apple. And I go, I juggle,
a little bite, yeah.
And I take a bite and go, Budgets.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Bite another one. Mm, libel law.
Right.
Bite another one. What else would I do?
Never heard of any of those things.
I know. And then, Pete, you talked to us about the legendary fart machine too.
Oh, the fart machine too, yes. And we did so good they had to make another one.
We did briefly just talk about potentially taking a travelling magic show on the road. Mm. You talked about a movie you'd seen. We talked about Idris Elba. We kind of got down the road of thinking that you might better beat Idris Elba in a fight.
I don't remember saying that, but if it's down there in black and white, producer Rory wrote that, scribbled that down.
He never lies.
Yeah, in his cursive.
We've got two producers. One can only tell the truth and one can only lie. And Rory's the one that can only tell the truth.
Yeah.
And we talked a bit about Antiques Roadshow, and I watched a bit of Antiques Roadshow again. Mm. We're recording this on a Monday. I watched a bit of Antiques Roadshow last night. Well, I'll tell you what was interesting about that episode of Antiques Roadshow.
Mm. No antiques.
Yeah, it was just
it's a roadshow.
Lollipops.
It's lollipops.
Yeah,
oh, that's
only
nice.
Only lollipops.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole episode.
The best lollipop.
And Fiona Bruce was wrapping lollipops in the background going, what? Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Next lollipop.
Next one. It's the lollipop that Rooney licked on holiday that time. Famous lollipops.
Was he on holiday? I thought he was just walking down the street.
No, he was dressed like a baby, wasn't he? That one. The lollipop that hit David Bowie in the eye that time. I'm trying to think of famous lollipops. Kojak's. Yeah.
Kojak's got to be up there. Kojak's one's up there for sure. There's your top three
there's
right
your top
there.
Top three.
I didn't even know about the one hitting David Bowie in the eye.
Yeah, it's
is
a
that
really
why
funny
you got
picture.
Heterochromia.
Well, it couldn't have helped, could it? David Bowie, I think it might have been ice lolly, actually, which I don't know whether it fits.
Well, but you could just put it on the wound. Can't you just hold it straight on the wound?
Owie Bowie, the son went with. It was...
That's a brilliant
photo. It's a brilliant photo, isn't it? Yeah.
It's like stuck to his face.
This is the moment when pop legend David Bowie was... Bowie?
I would say David Bowie.
David Bowie. Was nearly blinded as a lollipop hurled on stage, wedged in his eye. He winced in agony as the stick shot between his left eyeball and its lid.
Mm. What year is that?
He immediately stopped the concert and yelled abuse at the thrower. The idea of David Bowie screaming at someone. 2004. So, one fan said he grabbed a mic and he called the person responsible a coward and a bastard for hiding in the crowd.
So, turned to sharp.
Yeah. Freed an aide who rushed on, freed the sweet.
I love that it's an aide. I love when you get that rich or that famous, they become aides, don't they?
Yes,
it's not like a road because probably he's a member of the road crew, right?
I remember Victor Lewis Smith doing Crank Call, rest in peace. He rang up the White House and spoke to somebody and was going, I hear, and he's crying and he said, I heard that the president has AIDS. And they were like, no, the president has AIDS. And it took him like 5 minutes to explain that it didn't mean that he was he had the disease.
I mean, plural of assistance.
Exactly.
And Victor Lewis Smith essentially set fire to his own career by going really big and hard on how much he hated The Office, didn't he?
Did he? Oh, yeah, he reviewed. Did he review it?
He reviewed it in a really passionately negative way.
I don't know. That's kind of his thing, wasn't it? He was a bit of a contrarian, bit of a dickhead.
Yeah.
That's kind of his thing. I mean, I was in the Groucho.
Ultimately, if you are. Is he dead now?
Yeah, he died last year, I think.
That's a shame.
Because my dad sort of connected between his Victor Lewis Smith. Those prank calls he used to ring up like.
I don't remember those. So I remember him as a TV critic. I don't remember him as a presenter.
It was because he had a TV show for a bit, but he was TV Offal, I think, because he obviously TV Offal was, I think, his column. But his tapes, I can't remember what it's called now, but they were very funny. Very offensive, but he'd ring up like Michael Winner and call him a cunt.
He had access to all these numbers because of his job.
Yeah.
And he'd like
ring up That's Life and pretend he could play the trombone with his feet and stuff. And he would I remember one he would ring up a TV repair place and he was going, hello, I am pretending to be a German. He was going, hello, I have taken to the back off the television. There is a button saying Danga. I will press the button, Danga. And they go, don't do that. Don't, what you're doing. And it's just bang.
Yeah.
And it's just, I just always remember him going, I've lost someone across the room. And then he said, what is the number for the ambulance? And he's going, why are you saying no to me? 999.
Yeah.
Good
I get
stuff.
It. I get the
solid
joke.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Solid jingoistic xenophobic stuff.
Is it aged well, would you say?
No, terribly. There's a couple of them where he has a go at people who really deserve it. So, yeah.
Like you with Mad Frankie Fraser.
Mad Frankie Fraser.
I was actually, I was researching a joke I did on the Ramble on Monday.
Researching a joke?
Well, I wanted to make a joke about Jack the Hat McVitie.
Okay, yeah.
And I did the joke. Here's hoping it made the edit. I haven't listened back.
Yeah.
I went down a bit of a Wikipedia rabbit hole about the craze and Jack the Hat McVitie was killed by the craze and the rest of it. And I didn't realise, you know, you had that kind of checkered history of Mad Frankie Fraser.
Right.
I didn't know that he was one of the main guys who helped dispose of the body and did all the running around for the craze. Really, that was his thing.
Right.
He was like a proper gangster.
Yeah. So he wasn't like a
one of those
Me
TV
Too
ones.
Kind of guys. Yeah, one of those TV gangsters.
No, he was properly, he's properly in amongst it, yeah.
Mm.
He's dead now, though, obviously, isn't he?
Yeah.
Died about 10 years ago. He actually, yeah. The thing about him is that he lived, I'm just looking at him now, he lived to the age of 90.
Yeah. So, rarely yeah. happens in that game.
Very rarely.
I tell you what, about men excelling at an age where they should be retiring. Ben Hart, the breakdancing dad.
Yeah, so this went viral on TikTok the last week or two because this girl...
It was a girl who's, I think, a writer in Hollywood, and she was basically saying that, like, my trauma is quite funny. And if you've got trauma and it's funny, you got to tell people about it because it's funny. Mm. And she was basically saying that her dad left the family home, left four kids and a wife, and just basically became a breakdancer.
Yeah, it's a brilliant video, and she tells the story really well, and it is one of the most cringe things you can imagine your dad doing as a young person.
Well, it's just funny that he's an older man. He's like a man in his 60s doing breakdancing.
He's really good at it.
Yeah, he's really good at it for a man of that age. And he basically broke up a family by her words, and left the home and just became a breakdancer. And the juxtaposition of her trauma and the chaos that she experienced in her life, and the dad on Britain's Got Talent or whatever doing breakdancing.
It's like an American in the 90s, though, right?
Or yeah, a little bit later, yeah. But just having a dance.
Hasn't he released a rebuttal video?
So he's done a rebuttal video. And like everything, I can't... What I need to do is just enjoy something and then never explore again because it ruins the rebuttals, the information behind it doesn't help. Like, it makes it sad.
But here's the thing, and this speaks to the very... So what the rebuttal, the dad's rebuttal is like, look, it's funny and stuff, but yeah, great, but I did actually end up giving over like $5 million to the family.
We were divorced. So, like people do divorce.
They always looked after. I gave $600,000 for college. And so ultimately...
It's not funny though, is it?
No, and that's the thing. And that speaks to the heart of what you kind of do as a broadcaster in that, because you can't let the actual truth get in the way of a good story.
Yeah.
Like, you can't. Because if you tell a story...
That's why you don't work on Five Live anymore.
It's fucking boring.
It's the
boring.
Unique way the BBC's funded.
You can't, like, you have to employ some kind of comedic device or exaggeration or whatever. And the way I see it is, look, if you're not, really massively, I mean, in this case, maybe she is disrespecting her dad's family name, and so it's different, but that's what TikTok can be like.
But that said, the shot of him doing the well-prepared statement, he is wearing
jazzy Bitcoin shirt. Yeah, so who knows which way, choose a side, that's what I would say.
Yeah.
I was just going to say about Frankie Fraser quickly, he's the kind of guy that these kind of proper old-fashioned boys, quite right-wing guys, like love, right? They're obsessed with them, aren't they? Buy the books, read about it. Alan Partridge sent it up quite well in there. We have Dan the Dagger Man from Dagenham and all that kind of stuff. But like, if you look at Frankie Fraser's record during the biggest crisis of the 20th century for this country, the Second World War, what was Frankie Fraser up to?
Oh, just running around, doing naughty stuff.
In his own words, such were the criminal opportunities during the war. I've never forgiven the Germans for surrendering. And the second thing was, 1942, while he was serving in a prison sentence in Chelmsford Prison, he came to the attention of the British Army and he was conscripted, but he later boasted he'd never once worn the uniform, ignored all call-up papers, deserted, and resumed his criminal activities. Good. Cheers for your effort, mate.
Yeah.
Cheers for doing the good thing, fighting the good fight for us.
Mm.
Absolutely unbelievable.
And the sort of people who would be, you know, tweeting about him and Facebooking about him would have, like, a Spitfire on there.
Yeah,
on their,
and we've got proper generation.
Yeah.
Boy, back when things were proper.
Men.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, Peter, we haven't had a break yet.
All right, then.
We should have a break.
Fine.
When we come back...
We've got to talk about balls again, haven't we?
I'm actually quite looking forward to batteries first, if that's okay with you.
Batteries and balls.
Batteries and your balls.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
We're back with the Luke and Pete Show, and every single Thursday we talk about all things batteries. If you found a battery in your remote control, let us know what it is and what brand it is. Paul's got in touch. Hello, gents, listeners since the Luke and Pete summer days when I was living in Singapore. Third time emailer. You read one of my previous emails a few years ago, which discussed the funhouse dummy that turned out to be a real corpse of an American outlaw. Wow. Anyway, this time I have a battery to submit. Not too hopeful for this one, but I thought I'd get in on the action. And the action... it's good. Media range, premium alkaline. I like the clean design. I like the slightly computery typeface they've used. And the word mignon, AA, which is funny.
Media range, one word.
Media range, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, they've concatenated it, but there is a capital letter in R. But media range, I think, yeah. I think that's one word.
So, yeah, Paul, that is a new player. Congratulations to you, my friend.
Paul, I mean, cracking stuff.
The image you've attached is absolutely gigantic.
I mean,
I'm going to have to scroll through the image. It's actually made in the People's Republic of China as well, according to the battery.
Good on them. Good luck, that.
Media range. Oh, Marcus told me once, Marcus from the Ramble told me that he was doing the announcing for the hockey, I think, or maybe the blind football at the Olympics in 2012.
Mm.
And he was the venue announcer. Mm. And obviously had to announce the teams in and all that kind of stuff. And he kept accidentally saying the Democratic Republic of China.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And I think it's the People's Republic of China.
Yeah.
And
he's thinking about Congo, isn't he?
Probably. Yeah.
He's always thinking about Congo.
Always thinking about Congo. He never stops thinking. So what you like about Marcus?
Yeah.
He never stops thinking about Congo.
Hi lads. Recently, I was visiting a friend in Budapest. Lucian has got in touch.
What are you legally obliged to say when someone mentions Budapest?
I'm in Budapest, my high hidden treasure chest.
That's a bit of George Ezra, isn't it?
George Ezra.
No, you have to say, it's actually two cities, Buddha and Pest.
Is it really?
Separated by a river. Everyone knows that. It's like a cliched bit of trivia.
I don't care. I've been there. I don't care. Been there, don't care.
Maybe you've only been to one of them.
Exactly. Good point. And when I found a broken torch that seemingly hadn't been touched for years, I couldn't resist looking inside for some Hungarian new player action. I've attached pictures of my findings, Hiwatt and Samco. Both seem like fairly generic battery brands, so I can't say my hopes are too high, but I thought it was worth a go. Samco and Hiwatt.
So, aesthetically, I prefer the Hiwatt. It's a nice little logo and stuff. Yeah, very clean. Looks like it'd be fresh. And it's got that thing, that design on it that they show the inside of an atom with the neutrons and the electron stuff. But that's not a new player. Okay. That's the bad news. The good news is that Samco is a new player.
Extra heavy duty, lovely.
I'm really surprised to hear that. I feel like I've seen it before.
You think Samco,
it's a new player, apparently.
Very 70s design. And, I'm enjoying it.
Lucian, first of all, there's a man called Lucian, so he should deserve credit or criticism for that, depending on where you look at it. But he's also sent that email to us on Valentine's Day, Pete.
Oh.
So judge how you will.
Happy Valentine's Day to Lucian. One from Pavel. Hi, the Luke and the Pete's. I give you Duraday.
Oh, I'm not even bothering.
Surely, chaps. It was found in a child's toy that I bought at the Panto this Christmas.
So, Duraday, I'm not even going to check. Well, I am going to check just to tell you, Pavel, that
I like the orangey kind of like wood grain effect they've got on that.
Yeah, he's the 114th person to send Duraday in.
He's got like a dry spot on his, what finger is that one? Is that his middle finger?
Yeah, yeah.
In the same place that I've got. What have we been up to?
Masturbating. is it masturbation related, Peter?
Not with my left hand, and he's wearing a wedding ring. So not allowed. That is cheating.
It's one of the vows, isn't it?
Technically cheating.
I will to love and honour and to never again masturbate.
Exactly.
So it can't be that. Yeah. But there one thing is, he's not finding new batteries because that is the furthest away from a new player I think I've ever seen in my life.
That's a shame.
Let's do a quick. I mean, look, we've got a lot of vasectomy emails. There's no way around it. I mean, you know, this. If you want to know, if you listen to this for the first time and you want to know what type of show this is,
A lot of vasectomy. I will say that
a lot of emails about vasectomies.
The crescendo of onanism very much involved with what's happening in the vast de France. So I think it's kind of like, let's just give us the. I mean, because this stuff still comes out. I don't know why I went down this.
How does it work? You did remind me of this before, but I can't.
Stuff still comes out, but there's just no. I think semen comes out, but sperm does not.
Okay.
Hi, boss, says Dave.
Is this one of your regular chat lines?
Is that nightclub shot of like a block like shouting into a woman's ear? It's two different things. Thought I'd add to the vasectomy chat as I had the old snip snip a couple of years ago. I can confirm that the whole process is fairly painless, but the tighty whitey tip is an absolute must. Wear tight pants, basically, straight afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
I was in fact informed that you should double up on this in the initial aftermath, and wear two pairs of tight fitting pants, which worked a treat.
I don't feel comfortable with the idea of wearing two pairs of pants.
Yeah.
It feels perverted. It feels like you don't trust yourself not to do something horrific. So you need an extra barrier. Do you know what I mean?
You're going to get caught somewhere.
Yeah.
On the incision versus hole punch debate, the latter is apparently the most recent way of doing it, as it heals quicker and doesn't leave a scar. Leave a scar. I don't care. Do it the least painful way possible. Leave a scar. It's never looked that good to start with, to be honest.
Won't be the only scar you've got on your nuts.
Exactly. Actually. Yeah, I am. I do test the old testes sometimes.
A lot of BMXing as a kid.
A lot of BMXing. Yeah. Sandpaper. It's good stuff. A couple of things I was not expecting about the whole procedure, though, were the doctor, in a classic doctor voice, talking non-stop about the weekend's rugby, which upon further interrogation by myself led to the admission that he'd not actually seen it, as he didn't have Sky Sports and didn't actually like rugby anyway.
Weird.
That man is a man ill at ease with his own, you know, his own
small
practice.
Talk.
Yeah, his own small talk.
What would you reckon your small talk would be like as a doctor?
I mean, there would be, because rugby balls do look like balls, so I think that's where I would...
That's your buy-in, straight away, your icebreaker, yeah.
Yeah. The playing of non-stop show tunes and him apologising for this and saying he doesn't know why Spotify keeps randomly selecting them.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So here's the thing. Surgeons are famously, when they're operating, they have their own kind of proclivities, right? And they put music on or they listen to whatever and they can be quite eccentric characters. Mm. Crucially, though, that's when the patient has got a general anaesthetic, right, and is out.
Right, yeah.
Sounds to me that Dave here, vasectomy Dave here, is awake.
So yeah,
why is the surgeon not
anesthetic?
Showing any kind of personal skills whatsoever?
He's busy tying some tubes, isn't he?
I just think that if you're playing around with another man's nuts, albeit in a professional environment,
at least give him the eye.
Get the small talk right.
Get the small talk right. Yeah, I mean, it is awkward.
It's just going to make it more awkward, isn't it?
Well, the doctor taped my old chap to my stomach while I was lying down on the table to keep him out of the way.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's as awkward as it is, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, Dave, you could have said chest, and then that.
Oh, you could have actually.
Yeah, said Dave.
He tossed it over my shoulder.
Like a regimental soldier.
Yeah.
Michael, more vasectomy tales. Morning. Seeing as you are light on the snip stories, here's mine. In 2012, about a week after our second child was born, I was booked in for my vasectomy.
I just like that.
A week after that,
Michael has listened to the show we did about vasectomies.
Yeah.
And the follow up show, where he's not set anything in.
Right.
And I followed up and I said, oh, yeah, we didn't really get that many people emailing about vasectomies. He's gone, right. Avengers assemble. I've got to help the lads out.
Maybe we could do like a battery feature, three every Thursday.
He's basically sent in an email to a podcast about his own vasectomy to help the lads out.
Well, like, I think the batteries are very much like, because they look quite inert on the outside, but inside it's a mash of quite dusty heavy metals and thin pieces of foil.
What's
sort
that?
Of wrapped in together.
What is?
Batteries.
Oh, battery, yeah.
They're a mess inside.
Yeah.
Very much like the testicles.
Yeah.
In 2012, about a week after our second child was born, I was booked in for a vasectomy. I was greeted by a couple of female nurses around my age who put me at ease. I mean, that would never put me at ease. I don't see anyone.
No.
Before I was taken for an awkward pre-op chat with the surgeon. When it was my turn, I laid down on the bed, and to my horror, the two female nurses walked in, and before I knew it, my gown was up and I was naked from the waist down, being washed and shaved by the ladies. One doing the washing, while the other one held my balls and moved my frightened penis out of the way.
Yeah.
After the op was over, which didn't hurt anywhere near like I thought it would, the surgeon sat me and instructed me to try masturbating after about a week, as it would help recovery, and to do it frequently before trying sex again. I'm sure it's for a good reason, but it was so weird and embarrassing.
Yeah.
The tight, size too small pants is a thing, and it does work, but you still walk around like a cowboy. The final act was to go to the post-op samples to check that it had worked, being taken in a room with a stern-looking nurse who pointed some magazines in a rack, eyeing me suspiciously and saying, "They are there, if I needed them," and then to come back after 10 minutes to collect the sperm. Or not, presumably. He's gone. Yeah. I mean, Michael should know that there shouldn't be any sperm in there.
The
vast difference.
It's very awkward, isn't it?
It is very. It's ultra awkward, as Michael says.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Thanks for being so honest about it, though, Michael. Yeah. I mean, joking aside, I mean, this is like probably pretty important stuff that men don't talk about enough.
Yeah.
So hopefully we've released the veil. Showing people how the sausage is made.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got one more vasectomy tip, but
we'll do it next time.
This is going to run and run.
Exactly. It is.
Thanks for getting in touch with your most intimate details around your vasectomies. Mm. What annoys me about that is we could do a really good sponsored bit on men's health. Yeah, probably pull down about $5,000 for doing it.
Mm.
But do they come knocking down our door? No, they don't. It's like HelloFresh all over again.
Exactly.
I had a lovely HelloFresh last night.
Did you?
I snapped it up from the Stacey Solomon range.
Well, what is a Stacey Solomon
She's
range?
She's got a signature range on HelloFresh now.
What?
You loved it.
So just gets the cheap ones.
It was a sambal chicken teriyaki.
What? I had one last week that was just beans. Like, it was the cheapest of the cheap.
Can of baked beans.
Honestly, it adds sweet corn. It had beans. It was like a Mexican thing.
Yeah.
It had like chipotle powder.
I've had that.
And there needs to be something else.
Over rice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had it. Yeah. It's disappointing.
Underwell.
It's not enough for a big, strong lad after a long day.
No. It was the biggest of all of the meals, but I think they overcompensate with the rice.
Yeah, probably.
Just to make a point, I would say.
It's hard to get rice right, isn't it? That's why.
Not when you've got a rice cooker.
Have you got a rice cooker?
I've got a rice cooker.
That was Jules Breach's number one household tip.
Massively.
Yeah, we're talking about, I can't remember what we're talking about it, but she was like, I cannot believe how few people have rice cookers. They're amazing.
Mm.
Anyway, we haven't got time for that now, Peter.
Is her mum Malaysian or Filipino or something?
Her mum's Filipino.
Filipino.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like,
her dad's a chef as well.
Yes, exactly. But out there, like rice cooker is, you just need a rice cooker. They're just the best. They are the best. Mm. Anyway, vasectomies, rice cookers, you got the lot here on the Luke and Peter
All
Show.
The main food groups.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter and stuff if you fancy it, at the Luke and Pete Show. We're also on Instagram as well, and do keep your emails popping their heads around the door if you have had anything seriously modified about your bits. Do let us know. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com,
and also let us know how quickly you can feasibly get candy floss in your mouth.
Exactly. Good point.
We want to see the record broken.
Alright then, we'll be back on Monday.
See ya.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.